Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Amen. That at that time, in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, that at that time, everybody say that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. That at that time, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Let's talk about together for a while. Will you walk with me in the word? Father, I pray that you would help us this day. Thank you, God, that you have gathered us together and that we are here on this Easter Sunday to celebrate, Father, that you gave us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we believe today, Jesus, that you are the resurrection and that you are the life, and we have hope in you. And I thank you, God, that we are here and we have purpose. And I pray, God, that those that are bound in their mind and in their spirit and their life, they would be set free because, Lord, you have given us the victory over death, hell, and the grave, over sin and shame. And we trust in you, Lord, and I pray, anoint us now, be glorified. I thank you for your power. Anoint me, and we trust in you, God, in your name and your word. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for these musicians and singers leading us into the Lord? And would you give the Lord thanks and praise for that? Amen. The children of Israel sat ready, prepared. Goods had been gathered, belongings bundled up and ready to go. 9 plagues, judgments of God. Demonstrations of his power and presence were behind them in Egypt. And only one was yet to be, and that was the Passover. They did not know what to expect. None of it, as a matter of fact, at that particular point and place, made much sense at all. They knew that was the night that a lamb would be slain for each house. The blood of it would be applied to the posts of the door, and each house would gather. They would gather any and all that would come into it to be safe and saved. Many or few, the invitation would be made. The lamb was prepared, and it was to be received by all in the house. God simply wanted all of Israel to be together. That night, the death angel would pass over the land there in Egypt. And where there was no blood, where no lamb was slain, the firstborn was taken. You know the story well. The firstborn was taken. But where the blood was applied, there was life. And thereby, that death angel would pass over. The first Passover set the tempo. Understand this. It set the tempo that Israel would follow for generations. It was their first step of faithfulness that was to be followed. It was a mark. It was a mark on the calendar of their life that all else would be ordered from that. You understand this? All else would be ordered from that Exodus, from that night, from what seemed to be the end that would usher in a new beginning. Each year it would come again. And they again, Israel, would gather together in their cities, their towns, their communities, their homes, together. The Bible has always been, it's always been a book of precedents, a book of patterns and plans that were set to be followed. Some things we often have debated and we often have wondered why, and we have our own estimations and we have our own definings of it. But nonetheless, the Bible has always been a book of precedents, a book of patterns and plans, a way to live, a way to conduct ourselves, a way for us to follow God and His Word, a set and followed plan. A portrait painted, if you would, with each stroke and color and hue bringing into focus the purpose and the plan, the unfolding plan of redemption. Understand this, everybody. I'm not talking about this today, but this is the unfolding redemption story of Jesus Christ. This is the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ, bringing man back to God. It is the revelation. Understand this. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's a portrait that's painted with each stroke, each color, each hue. It brings into focus the purpose, the greater plan of God at work for humanity, for you and I. So it's easy to understand when you read this book that God always thought that it was important. It was important for you and I and all people to be together. That we are always better together than we are apart. That isolation and independence make us vulnerable. It makes us weak. But unity, togetherness, demonstrates deliverance and it demonstrates strength. Sin and shame, that great fall of man, if you would, in the beginning, sin and shame and self have always been the great separators. The tools of the trade of the enemy of our soul that divide us from relationship with God and divide us from relationship from one another. If you would, please, look at this. Sin that separates us from God. Shame or guilt that keeps us from God. Break this down a little bit. Sin that separates us from God, shame or guilt that keeps us from God, and self that tries to satisfy us instead of God. Those things and more try to alienate us from God, from the things of God. It tries to alienate us from one another, to keep us apart, separated upon the wall, as Nehemiah said, making us, everybody walk with me now right now, you're gonna understand this, making us feel unworthy. Making us feel like that we just don't deserve it. We're undeserving, distant, denied in God. Always, always a little less. Always a little lacking. Sin makes me feel like I'm never quite enough. Shame makes me feel like I shouldn't be around. It tells me I've sinned one too many times. Tells me I'm not worthy. I shouldn't go. I shouldn't walk to the altar. I shouldn't be around the saints. And self tries to take the place and to satisfy, and it's just never quite enough. It's nothing like background music while I'm preaching. Can somebody take care of that for me real quick? Taylor? Where you at with me? There we go. That must have been of God, huh? All right. It makes me feel unworthy. Sin makes me feel unworthy. It was just the angel singing, so. That happens when I come around. I don't know if you know that or not. Did you see the holy glow around my head while I'm up here? I don't know. Makes us feel unworthy. Distant. I don't know about you, but I've always battled with that in my life. I told somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, because we were raised up in a culture like that. Just stick with me for a second. Now, I just need to minister for a moment. We were raised up thinking that we're just never going to be good enough. Right. That we're just... we're just always going to come up a little short, that we disappointed God again this week. And we just didn't pray enough, or we didn't fast enough, or we didn't read the word enough, or we weren't good enough. And so we just always feel like sin and shame and self just makes us feel like we just come up a little short every time. We just can't quite get there. And so what happens in turn, we just get distant and we feel like we're denied and we get separated and we don't want to be around one another and we don't want to be around the things that draws attention to it, because we feel like when we walk in the room that everybody's looking at us because of what we think we did. But Jesus, but Jesus on another Passover at another time decided that that was then and this is now. Look at it one more time if you would please. That at that time, then you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope without God in the world, but now. That was then, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. At that time, Brandon, at that time, You were without Christ. You were a stranger, no hope, without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, by his blood, you are made nigh. Then you and I were far off, distant, scattered, lost, but now we are near, now we are made nigh, now we are together. We are together in him. It was the blood, somebody hear me right now, it was the blood that brought them together in the Old Testament, and it is the blood that brings us together in the New Testament. It was that cross of Christ, that sacrifice at Calvary that brings our life together. On Easter a year ago, we found ourselves negotiating a pandemic that has altered and affected our life in so many profound and particular ways and still is in fact doing so right now. Last Easter was not the norm. We were scrambling, if you would, to try to figure out how we were going to find the footing in such a unique and challenging time. And so last Easter, without question, as you know, was not the norm. It was not the usual. And because of that, many people struggled. We did not struggle. Look at this. We did not struggle because God was any less. We didn't struggle because God had diminished in some way or that he was absent. Most of us got up that day and there was air to breathe. The world was still turning. Life was still going on into some different capacity. There was food on our table. So the needs were met. He was presently with us. Do you understand that? God was with us. And so we didn't struggle because of the absence of God, because he was not absent. He was and he always will be the same. But rather we struggled simply because we were not together. That was where the struggle took place. It wasn't because God was somehow less. It wasn't somehow that he had pulled his hand and his heart back from us and we were finding ourselves abandoned in a wilderness that we just didn't know what to do. No, that wasn't the case at all. We struggled. We found it a difficult day last year because we just simply weren't together. We weren't here in this place. You weren't around family. We weren't around friends. We didn't walk in the door on Easter Sunday with the sharp dress suit on, and we didn't know what to do with ourselves. And suddenly we woke up on that Easter Sunday morning a year ago, and we just felt just a little bit lost. God wired his church. He wired you and I together to be together, to physically agree. Just stick with me now. God made the church to physically agree together in community, in worship and praise. Fitly, we'll read it here in a minute, fitly framed together, each of us for a purpose for his ultimate glory. He said that each joint supplies the other. The body was meant to be together because there's something about when you and I are in proximity, when we are in proximity of physical touch with one another, there is a difference. There is something that transpires in the spirit. But it's not just physically gathering of all of us into one place. It is as well what's demonstrated in the spirit. When we are together, there is something bigger that is at work. Look at this, if you would, please. When we gather together in the Spirit, we are calibrated by it and we celebrate because of it. There are certain things that you can only get in this place. Hear me, someone that maybe this is your first time in a while being in the house. There are certain things that you will only get in church. There's certain things that you're only going to hear in church. You're not going to hear it online. You're not going to feel it online. You're not going to be able to get through the television. You're not going to be able to sense it outside the four walls. There's something about when we come into this house, there is a purpose in unity that gathers us in this place, and something happens in the spirit collectively. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. When two or three touch these things in my name. Amen. A threefold cord is not easily or quickly broken. This coming together in the Spirit by the Spirit of God, can I tell you that it adjusts the course of our life? When I come into this house and I'm around you and we are in the Spirit together, it adjusts the course of my life. It sets the posture and the pace of how you live. me being around you and you being around me and all of us being in the presence of God, it corrects the course. It points us in the right way. I've lost count of the time. Somebody hear me right now. On the end of this pandemic, as we are beginning to make the turn to a better day, hopefully soon here in our county, amen, I want you to know there is something about it that when we are in this place, that when we are presently on the pew, that when you're around people and you're around the people of God and you're around the presence of God, it changes the course of your life. You hear things, you feel things, you see things that quicken your spirit. You may not recognize it at first. You may not even understand it or be able to articulate it. But just because you're in this place today, you are going to be affected positively when you walk out of this place by what you experienced in this place. It changes the course. It calibrates the compass of my life. And because of that calibration, we are then celebrated. It's lived out. It lights the way. It changes who we are and how we live and how others are affected by it. You're going to walk out of this place today better and different, and people are going to be affected because you've been around God. Moses, when he came off the mount, his face shone. Why? There was that holy glow. He had the holy glow, not me. When he came off the mount, why was that? Because he had been around God. There's something about being around the presence of God that makes you talk different. There's something about being around the people of God that makes you react differently. We are better when we are together. Amen. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That is what his blood atoned for. The empty tomb offered us a full life. The work of Jesus on the cross and the victory over death gives us reason and purpose to what we are doing here today. The reason why we sing, the reason why we live, it is because Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. Someone lift your hand and thank God right now. Would you do that? Thank you, Jesus. Many live life unfulfilled, broken, and undone. Constantly trying to find what is missing in all the wrong things and in all the wrong places. I can't tell you over the course of the past year, and again, I said I was going to refer some things from this past year and then we'll move on from it. But nonetheless, over the course of this past year, I can't tell you the numerous phone calls that I would get of people that were just scrambling, people that didn't know what to do. People that were fearful, people that were questioning where they were, what they were doing, where they were going, how life was going to be, what it looked like. Suddenly, all the things begin to just to seem to fall apart all around many people's lives, and they didn't know where to turn, and they felt unfulfilled and broken, undone, constantly trying this and trying that, trying to put in place all the things that seemed to be missing, and every time it was, it would seem to be found in all the wrong places with all the wrong things. Can I tell someone today in the sound of my voice, if you have been experiencing that and you have been feeling that, you are not alone. And the answer is not out there, and it never has been in the world or what government has to offer, this world has to offer, or humanity can give to us. The answer for your life today is Jesus Christ. It is the resurrected Lord. Jesus. Victory over death, hell, and the grave on that third day meant that you and I don't have to live a life that is incomplete and without hope. Look at this, if you would, please, in Colossians. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is in Jesus. And ye are complete. Everybody say complete.
Complete.
Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Because of the fullness of Jesus, God incarnate, we are complete in him. Because of Jesus, I am made complete. No more sin. Walk with me. No more sin to separate us from him. That was then. No more shame to keep us from him. That was then. No more self to try to take his place. That was then. We are complete in him. That is now. We have hope in him. That's right now. We are near him. This is now. All the fragmented and frayed ends of our life that we just can't seem to get together, all the broken and bruised places that just won't heal, all the past that keeps trying to chase us down. Can I tell somebody that was then, but this is now? You and I are made complete in Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Now therefore, look at this please if you would. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief, himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hear me, someone in the house today. You are not a stranger. You don't have to be a stranger anymore. In this house today, no more foreigners, amen, that have no place. You are invited in. You can be a fellow citizen, a saint of the household of the Most High God. We're brought together. We're brought together by Jesus. We're built together by Jesus. We're held together. Somebody hear me right now. You're held together by Jesus. Our life's made complete. Musicians, if you would, please. Sometimes it just feels like life's falling apart. I woke up yesterday morning and I began to remind myself, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I'm trying to reach to somebody to remind you, you may have gone through a difficult year, we all have in some capacity. And life may have felt like, and it may even still feel like, that it's just fallen apart. And it just doesn't make sense. And sickness has surrounded you, and prognosis of doom and gloom, and all the negative reports that we see constantly in front of us, that there never just seems to be a breather. We always feel like that this is trying to separate us and that's trying to keep us apart and that's happening. No doubt there are those things that are very real and they are very relevant, and I'm not trying to diminish from the intensity or the importance of what is or what has happened, but I am trying to say this. We were never meant to just have hope in this world. We were meant to have hope in Jesus. Come on. Yeah, we were never. This world was never meant to put our life back together. Anybody, does that make sense, Brother Hughes? The world was never meant to make our life feel like it made sense. The answer was never meant to be out there. All the things that it offers, it's good and it's fine and it has its place. But if you want to know the reason for your life, you want to find happiness for your life, you want your marriage to be complete, your home to be fulfilled, your kids to live a good life, can I tell you where you're going to find your life put back together? You're going to find it when you are complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are better together. We're better together in Christ. We're better together in the church. Your life can be filled this day simply because the tomb is empty. Amen. You don't have to live in despair and defeat and discouragement and depression constantly. You don't have to wonder and worry anymore. It doesn't mean that all the circumstances will change, but it does mean this, that whatever circumstance comes your way, He is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can somebody lift their hand with me all over this house and begin to pray as you stand to your feet and as we begin to sing and as we begin to worship here and we rejoice and we thank God that we are made complete in Him. Come on, somebody lift their voice with me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Come on, praise Him. God, you're worthy. And God, you're wonderful. God, you're righteous. God, you're perfect in every way. Lord, you brought us together this day for your glory, for your honor. Come on, somebody pray it with me right now. Oh, Father, we were...